Good morning, church. It's great to see everyone out this morning. My name's Andrew Roberts. It's my pleasure to stand before you and to share with you a study in the Word of God. I hope that you brought a Bible with you. If you did, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 or find Galatians chapter 6 in your Bible. If you're using a pew Bible, that's fantastic. You're going to find Galatians chapter 6 on page 975, page 975. We have guests with us today, as we always do. We're so glad that you're here. Please take just a moment, if you would, to fill out one of the connection cards so that we can pray for you, encourage you with any spiritual need. We'd love to do that. And you just put those cards in the collection basket in a few moments when we pass them around. In fact, even if you don't want to fill out the card, you would be a great help if you would go ahead and put that in the collection basket. And we'd appreciate it greatly. We're looking at the Word of God this morning in Galatians chapter 6. And as we begin, I want to ask you a question. What do you think is the hardest Bible teaching to accept? Of all the teachings in the Bible, what do you think is the most difficult one to get conviction on and say, you know what, that's true, that is so? Sometimes I have thought, I wonder if the most difficult teaching for people to accept is that there is a God and He's the creator of the universe. I think it's hard for people to accept that because there's so much evolutionary worldview and teaching that goes on in our society, Big Bang and all that. People just, they really have a hard time accepting there's a God. He's a creator. And so we do lessons about evidences. You should accept that and design and all of that. But at the same time, you know what I've discovered? I've discovered there's people in our society with PhDs in the sciences who have rejected the idea that evolution is the true story of our origins. They're not necessarily Christians, but they just don't believe that at all. So I think, well, maybe that's not the hardest teaching to get a handle on. Well, then probably it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's got to be the hardest thing for people to get a handle on and to trust. I mean, it's beyond the realm of my experience, probably yours, to see someone come back from the dead. In fact, to see someone come back from the dead 3 days, exactly the time they said, I would come back from the dead. And so we find that a little hard to believe. And so we do lessons on apologetics and reasons that that's so, and that's really what happened. And I meet people who accept that that's the case, and they become Christians. And so I think, well, maybe that's not the hardest thing to get a handle on. Well, perhaps it's this. Maybe people have a hard time believing. It's the hardest thing for someone to believe that baptism is essential for salvation. Because we hear all the time, well, the way that you get into a right relationship with Jesus is, well, you say a special prayer, you say the sinner's prayer, or God will give you an inner light feeling in your heart, and you're just going to know. And so what do we do here? Well, we try to point people back to the Word, and we show them passages like Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And Galatians 3:27, you're baptized into Christ and clothe yourself in Christ. And, you know, there's hardly a service goes by that we don't read a few of those baptism verses. Because it seems like people have a hard time accepting, I really need to be baptized to be saved. And yet, I see a whole room full of people that more or less have accepted, you know what, that's right, that's true. And they were baptized for the remission of sins, they're baptized into Christ. So maybe that's not the hardest one for people to believe and to accept. I'm coming to think that the hardest Bible teaching for anyone to accept is this, that there's always a harvest, that you reap what you sow. Which is this passage and this principle we're taught in Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Andrew, you think that's the hardest Bible teaching for people to believe and to accept? I don't think so. Everybody believes that. That's just common sense. We all know that one. How could you think that's the hardest Bible teaching for someone to accept? Because I've met people, and I think you have too. And I know people, and I believe you do too, Christian or non-Christian, who either by their words or their actions forget, ignore, or reject that God teaches us, you will reap what you sow. Sometimes as parents, we have these moments with our children where they're reaping a tough consequence. And we want to ask them, what did you think was going to happen? You know, sometimes the kids get older, they're making some very significant choices. And as parents, we wonder, well, weren't they looking to the end and where that would lead? And here we are. We were voices. We were telling them. We were warning. But they weren't listening. But we love our children, don't we? And yet you reap what you sow. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And we walk with them through some difficult harvests, some tough consequences and terrible circumstances that they are in. Why are they in them? And we hold hands and we pray and we love them. We don't remember loving them, but sometimes we wonder, didn't you see where that was going to lead? This is really the path that you were choosing way back when. We never ask somebody this, but sometimes we do wonder, well, what were you thinking? And if you say, well, I've never met anyone like that, have you ever looked in the mirror and asked, what was I thinking? Why? How did I get here? Oh, you know what? I got a couple of ideas why I got here. There is a Bible teaching that there is always a harvest. You reap what you sow. And too often, we don't think about the end from the beginning or where something might lead or that there is always a harvest. I just want to walk with you this morning through Galatians 6, a simple and a sober reminder. You reap what you sow. There's always a harvest. And that's true. And that is true not because God is bad, but because God is good. And God is just. Because He is a God of design and order. He's not the author of confusion. And so you reap what you sow. And there's always a harvest. And that's true. And that's true not because that we are perpetually victims where all of life just is happening to us, but because we are human beings. We are made in the image of God. We are given a will, a choice, dominion, and so we are accountable to God. You reap what you sow. That's part of the dignity of personhood and humanity, that there's always a harvest. There's always a harvest. And so number one, don't be deceived. There's always a harvest. And that's right where the Holy Spirit started, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't let anyone pull the wool over your eyes. God is true, and there is no mocking him. He established seed time and harvest time, that from the beginning. In fact, if you want to go to the very first page of your pew Bible, or any other Bible, to Genesis chapter 1. To Genesis chapter 1. And notice that in his creation, he set this up. And I'm looking at Genesis 1 and verse number 11. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. What do we learn here? Seed reproduces after its own kind. That seed time and harvest are true from the beginning, not another kind. And this is how God has designed it. This last week I was buying some carrot seeds because Aaron's got an agriculture project. Not only for $1.58 can you see exactly what when you plant is going to come up out of the ground, carrot seeds. But if you turn that package over to the back, there's information in there that'll tell you how long it takes these seeds to germinate, how deep you want to plant them in the ground, how much you want to space them apart, what soils is it good in, okay? What part of the country are you going to do best with these carrots? Andrew already told me all that. I'm telling you that we have observed seeds and what God has created and designed. And I tell you, you can know what's going to be born. You can know what's going to come out of the ground. And we can even tell you how long it's going to take because this is the way God has set it up. The farmer is never surprised by the crop coming up out of his field. It's what he has planted. You gardeners, you put your seeds in the ground and you put a little sign at the end of the row of your crop. And you don't have to wait till the plants come up to put that sign in. What is your crop? Because this is how God has built things and set it up. mean, can you imagine being a farmer and every year it's just grab bag? I planted, I don't know if I'm a watermelon farmer this year or if we're having cotton. I have no idea. I just know I'm a farmer. No, brethren, that's not the way it is. From the beginning, it was not so. And God taught us in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22 that this reaping and harvest, sowing and reaping, the season, that's going to continue to the world ends. Genesis 8 verse 22, Noah comes off the ark. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest till the world ends. You will always reap what you sow. It is inescapable to reap what you sow. And while it could be that some soil is better than others, some weather conditions more favorable, but when you plant seed in the dirt, it will do what God designed it to do. You always reap what you sow. There's always a harvest. Now, depending on what you're planting, that's some really good news. But that could also be some bad news. Because we reap what we sow. Seed comes after its own kind. There's always a harvest. And yet the Holy Spirit tells us, don't be deceived about that. There are so many deceivers that want to trick us that this could be some other way, that this could be any other way. We know that the devil is a deceiver. Jesus taught us about him and warned us about him. In John 8 and verse 44, as he decries the Pharisees, the religious rulers of his day, but he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in it. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He says something there about the devil, doesn't he? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. He is a deceiver. And there's no greater deception that the devil would like to perpetrate on us than either to make us think that there is no God or make us think that there is no devil. If he could deceive us about those things, he can work an awful lot of hardship in our lives. He brings deceptions to us. He would have us to believe that sin brings life and joy. It's not what sin brings. Sin brings death. James chapter 1. But the devil is always telling us, no. You go ahead and break the will of God and you indulge in the lust of your flesh and you do the things that's going to make you feel right now. It's going to bring you life and it's going to bring you joy. Sin always brings you death. I heard a statement this last week. You know, the Bible tells us we are not ignorant of his devices, of Satan's devices. Satan doesn't need new tricks and new lies. He just needs new fools that fall for him. And I heard that and I was like, wow, whew, that came home. I know I don't like to think of myself as a fool that's easily deceived, but I am. And there's these warnings here. He's going to try to make you think that you will not reap what you sow. The world works in deceptions. In 1 John 2 verses 15 through 17, it is under the sway of the devil. And so what do we know? It works in the ways of the devil. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know how the world wants to deceive you? The world wants to deceive you into believing that this is it in this world. That this is it and that this is all there is. That this is it and that this is forever. But what the Word of God teaches us is, folks, this world is passing away. This is transitory. There is a mindset that says, you know, this life is all there is, and so go for the gusto now. And it is the world of advertisement of various products, and it's particularly I think about alcohol and things like this. Best life on earth is the one you see in the beer commercials, and that has nothing to do with the reality of people that get themselves hooked on alcohol. But what is the world telling us? This is what it is. Indulge yourself now, and we're here. No, the world is passing away. My friends, there is self-deception. As the prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 10 verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own footsteps. We can live life thinking, I am the exception to this rule. I don't actually believe you reap what you sow. I believe you reap what you sow. But I don't believe I reap what I sow. I will be the exception. Or if it's not that I will be the exception, then this time will be the exception. We have a real problem in our society right now with a particular drug, and it's the drug of heroin. That drug is so incredibly addictive that about 25% of people who try it one time become addicted to it. Now think about the potency of that drug. 25%. I look back in the back and I got 1, 2, 3, 4 sections of Good Brethren. If I was to distribute to you heroin and the paraphernalia to ingest that poison, and you know what? The lads, all that section over there, you guys are addicted now. And we are not, but we look at them. Would you do it? Would you want to be one of the four? Well, I'll probably be the exception. So I'll probably do it. No, you reap what you sow. Why do you think you're going to be the exception? You reap what you sow. Whatever it is that you are sowing, know that our God increases. He brings the fruit to what is sown. That's how good God is. I read to you Jeremiah 17, verse 9 a moment ago. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10 continues. I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows it. I test the mind. God knows it. And then I emphasize this. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I know man, I know the heart, I know the situation, and I know you will reap what you sow. God is never tricked or ridiculed or played for a fool. He designed seeds to grow and to multiply, and he increases the planting. You're going to get your harvest. We see it again and again throughout the Bible. Hosea 8 and verse 7. This is actually judgment language on Israel. But guess what? They're going to get what they sowed. Hosea 8 verse 7. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Or Proverbs 22 and verse 8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. The rod of his anger will fail. There's always a harvest. You reap what you sow. Don't be deceived about it. God is not mocked. Again, and it depends on what you're sowing. This sounds like very bad news because I'm giving some pretty stern warnings. But I'm going to tell you, it works the other way. God's going to increase. You're going to get your harvest. And that can be positive spiritual growth as well. The humble writing of the Apostle Paul as he saw himself in the work of Apollos in preaching the gospel at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. And what did he say there at the last? And you reap what you sow. And you reap what you sow. Rewarding according to his own labor. That's a wonderful thing. Let me tell you something. You get to choose the kind of harvest. That's number two. You get to choose the kind of harvest. And that's so clear to us when we go to the next passage in Galatians 6. When we pick up our reading there in verse number 7. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I want to tell you, my friend, that you reap today what you planted yesterday. Because there's always a harvest and you reap what you sow. Our position, our attitude, our character, that is the result of past actions. We cannot continually lay blame for our situation on heredity, on environment, on our parents, on our society, on the church, on God. We get into a place where what we want to do is we don't like the harvest and we blame everybody else. Then who did the planting? Now I know that there are things beyond our control, that other people sin. It affects us conversely. Sometimes we don't even understand how far other people's sins can infect us and others. And we don't understand how far ours will affect others. doesn't take away my culpability. I am a planter, and I reap what I sow. I am a planter, and what I'm doing is affecting other people as well. And we need to wake up and accept this Bible truth. Accept responsibility for our actions, because I'll tell you, God is going to hold you responsible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And we're not going to be playing blame games there. We're not going to be Adam saying to God, "Oh, the woman you gave me." We're going to give an account. You reap what you sow. The present reveals much about our past. It's not the end of our story, but it's telling some chapters. You reap today what you planted yesterday. Second, you reap tomorrow what you plant today. Now, this is some great news. Because if we're not liking the harvest we're in right now, we can start planting a change. We can start planting to the Spirit. You reap tomorrow what you plant today. You don't like what you did, then change. I'm going to give you the power of God is in the Word of God. You start sowing that into your life. You start following that and living by that. You obey the Word of God. Incredible things will happen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't like my harvest. I sure don't like the harvest that I got coming to me when I stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. Well, here's the gospel. Forgiveness. Here is the seeds of the spiritual. Sow these. You can change. The change comes about slowly. The Bible talks about this in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, about renewing the mind, about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. When we obey the gospel of Christ, when we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we are like a newborn baby. We are longing for the milk of the Word of God to grow thereby. And it takes time. When you plant some seed, even if it's a little carrot seed for an agriculture project, you know you're going to have to give that 70 days. You cannot cram for an agriculture exam, folks. Better get that seed in because it takes some time. But there will be a harvest. We begin today so that we might reap tomorrow. And we need to understand this, that even when forgiven by the gospel of Christ, even when we get a fresh start through the goodness of God and His mercy in Jesus, there's still consequences. There's still some harvest. I want you to understand this in light of our great, the Bible's great King David. And you can read his account in 2 Samuel chapter 12. But what you're going to find there is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, there is a harvest. He had sown seed of adultery and murder with a lady named Bathsheba, killing her husband Uriah. The harvest comes in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel when the prophet tells him there's going to be terrible consequences. And David cries out to forgiveness. And the prophet tells him God has forgiven you. He has parted your sin from you, but there's consequences. The child of this union is going to die. The sword will never depart your house. And indeed, the consequences of that sin haunted him as children rose up to try to steal his throne, as other children murdered other children and attacked other children. Truly, the sword did not depart his house. Was he right with God? Were his sins parted from him? Yes. Were the consequences? Yes. I know a brother in Christ. Back in my days in Tennessee, he had committed crimes. He had run afoul of the law. He had done awful things. He admitted he'd done awful things. Paid his debts to society. Spent time in prison. Comes out. He really seemed to be all he could do to be a new man in Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Certain activities, crimes in our society, you keep your name on a list. The government keeps your name on a list. He was one of those. Now, he's baptized. He's right with God. His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Didn't mean the government took his name off of their list. There's consequences. There's consequences. Forgiven by God. Consequences in this life because of what we've done with others and in our sins. We need to be aware of that. And I want to encourage people on the cusp of life and making major decisions about schooling, about a spouse, about an occupation, You're planting seeds now, and there will be a harvest. Plant spiritual seeds. We're not going to be the people who sow wild oats and pray that there's never a harvest. There's always a harvest. And our present course is indicating much about our future. What does it tell us? Sow to the flesh, reap destruction. We just read that. Galatians 6, verse 8. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, in fact, throughout this letter, this epistle of Galatians, we find the spirit and the flesh back and forth. But there are works of these flesh listed in Galatians 5 and verse 19, such as the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, that is premarital sexual relationships, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's a long list. That's not the whole list. But that's a lot of works of the flesh. He says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're seeing some real specific seed there that when you plant, here's the harvest you're going to have: judgment. Your attitudes and actions are making a life that you have to live with, and ultimately God judges. It has been said that your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. And if you plant, cultivate, concern yourself with the flesh and works of the flesh, there's consequences. It's judgment. When we think wickedly with hate and lust, evil surmising, we're sowing to the flesh. When we are speaking wickedly with lies and gossip and cursing and vulgarities, it's sowing to the flesh. When we act wickedly, violence, immorality, hypocrisy, we're sowing to the flesh. We reap what we sow. There's always a harvest. With that warning comes this message of hope: sow to the Spirit and reap the fruit of the Spirit. Know the fruit of the Spirit. In the same paragraph of Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We need to walk in this Spirit to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You want to plant, you want to cultivate, concern yourself with God's things, with spiritual things, with the Word of God, then there are wonderful, wonderful blessings. I'm just telling you, you can look at your life right now. You're in a harvest right now. Are you producing the fruit of the Spirit? Or do you see the decaying works of the flesh? What's coming in? It tells you where you need to sow. Number three this morning, as we continue our walk through Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Though delayed, there is coming a harvest. Galatians 6 and 9 verse says this, reminds us of this. And this is important. If you've nodded off, it's time to wake back up. This is important. Not everything about my present circumstance is reaping what I sow. I may be sowing some really good seed. I haven't seen the harvest come in yet. I may be sowing some really bad seed. I haven't seen the harvest come in yet. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I want to encourage you this morning, don't doubt the harvest. Don't doubt the coming harvest. And this is why it's the hardest teaching to remember, to believe, to be convicted about. Because we don't always see it right away. Because harvest takes time. But it really does. I think about Joseph. Joseph is a guy that we might look at and we might say, you know, I'm doing all the right things, but bad things keep happening. I'm sowing all the right seed, but look at the harvest I'm getting, right? And here's Joseph, and he's getting these dreams, and he's trying to be right by his dad and get sold into slavery. And he's placed in Potiphar's household, and he's given a trust over everything Potiphar has. And the wife's throwing herself at him and trying to tempt him into adultery and immorality. And he's strong. He values God. He values purity. He values Potiphar. Then he goes to jail. He's in jail. He's a good guy in the jail. He's helping the other prisoners. He's interpreting their dreams. They get moved up. They forget about him. He stays in jail. I do right. I only get wrong. There's a harvest coming. And Joseph reminds us, there's a harvest for the righteous. I might just take his words from Genesis 50 and verse 20 as he gets to confront his brothers about the way back when kind of stuff. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Oh, when the harvest of righteousness came in, it was salvation. He was glad he kept sowing righteous. Likewise with Asaph, here's one of the psalmists. He's an example that though delayed, harvest comes, and harvest comes even for the wicked. You ever feel like that only the bad guys win? You ever feel like that you must be a chump for trusting God and following His word when only the bad guys win? Read Psalm 73. It'll bless your heart. Because here's this worship leader in Israel confessing the same things. Working it all out. Until we get to the 17th verse. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Until I remembered that there's a harvest, and there's always a harvest. And God is not mocked, and those that sow wickedness will know His judgment. God's judgment is coming to every man. And so don't grow weary for the coming harvest. But be patient like the farmer in James 5, verses 7 through 8. There is patience that is extolled among God's people. But the harvest is coming. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. The coming of the Lord is at hand. He'll not forget you. He'll not forsake you. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't grow weary. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. And ultimately and finally, that harvest is our judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the wrongs are righted. When God is both just and the justifier. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body. According to what he's done. Whether good or bad. See, there would be some people today who would end a lesson like this. And tell you that while there is a judgment coming before Christ. There's nothing you can do to prepare for it. God's the only person that does any sowing and any reaping. And if He's chosen you and selected you that you're going to go to heaven and you're going to stand there, well, then guess what? You will. And if He hasn't, then guess what? You won't. He sows, He reaps, and we're just along for the ride. That's not what the Apostle Paul told us in Galatians 6, though. You will reap what you sow. You can change and learn and apply in your life the teachings of the Word of God. You can obey the gospel and have access to its power for the forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ. You can sow to the Spirit and know the fruit of the Spirit. You have been given by God that choice. And I want to encourage you this morning to believe that truth. Hold tight of that truth. Sow to God, sow to the Spirit, because there's always a harvest. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away, those interactive outlines away, Brother Adam's going to come forward and lead us in another song. We call it a song of encouragement. It's an opportunity for the person who is here today can look around and see, I am in the midst of a harvest and I want no part of it. I am a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. But there is a Savior in Jesus Christ. He died for me upon the cross. He rose again. He reigns in heaven now. And he has given a message. And when I believe it and obey it, he washes my sins away. I get a new start with the Lord. All the power of his word and the church, his people, to be planting in a new way. To receive a true harvest, a spiritual harvest with God and in heaven forever. Don't you want that? And it starts right now. It starts with you planning right now. Become a Christian if you've not become a Christian. We have water ready and clothing ready. Everything's ready. Tell you something about God. He's faithful. We're the faithless ones. He's always faithful. Sometimes we lie and we misspeak. God cannot lie. And he tells us you'll reap what you sow. Let us help you with any spiritual need this morning, and so to the Lord. If we can help you to become a Christian, pray for you, encourage you in another way, we invite you to come forward now, so together we stand and sing. Won't you come?